I now call to order the Joint Development and Real Estate Committee. You have before you the approval, the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Been moved by Mr. Downey and seconded by Ms. Hutchins. Ms. Hewlett, I'm sorry. Discussion, hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye, opposed, no. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Is there a motion to approve? I move to approve the minutes as if read. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Is there discussion on the minutes? Discussion, hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye, opposed, no. The minutes are approved. We have two action items before us. The sale of air rights over Metro Tiebreaker Station at 118 K Street Northeast. Mr. Sarles, are you going to present this? Mr. Golden is going to present it. All right, Mr. Golden.
Mr. Chairman, we have an adjacent property owner who wants to purchase 7,500 square feet of air rights above our tiebreaker station at 118 K Street. They have utility only to that property owner who wants to envelop the tiebreaker station in an office building on its adjacent property. We will continue to own the land, which is 943 square feet, and we'll reserve one floor above it for future maintenance. We're requesting an easement in lieu of a lease for a very small area of the building. Because a very small area of the building will be in the building's Metro's airspace, only 4%, and the developer's lender can't accept the uncertainties associated with a lease. We would receive $344,000 based on a fair market value as determined by a staff appraisal. In addition, we would receive a new facade, new doors, improved ventilation, a new transition slab, and dedicated parking for a Metro service vehicle. And staff is asking for approval to negotiate and execute a sales and development agreement for the sale of air rights.
So discussion. Mr. Downey?
One question to show my ignorance. What is a tiebreaker station?
Mr. Downey, if it's any comfort, I used to think it was where they took railroad ties and chopped them up. But that's not what it is.
Mr. Kubitschek will describe it. Otherwise, you have to have me explain it.
Sorry, I was. What's the function of a tiebreaker station?
The function of the tiebreaker station is basically on the way that we have so many substations throughout the system that powers. And say, for instance, one substation goes down, the tiebreaker substation allows us to backfeed to the other substations to keep the line and stuff going. This is done by a design standpoint as well as for a maintenance perspective. And it's very, very critical because without it, there is no electricity.
All right, so further discussion, hearing none.
One more question for
Mr. Zimmerman.
And Mr. Kubitschek, from an operator, having just said this was so important, you're comfortable with what's proposed to be done here?
Inside the building?
I'm just asking, you're comfortable with the thing we're being asked to approve here?
With the proposed development and stuff, yes. Our engineering and stuff has been involved in this to make sure that we've got access so that way if we have repairs and stuff down in the future. Plus the other thing is, since this is a high voltage enclosure, they have to build stuff per code. So, you know, certain standards do have to be met.
You're comfortable it will not impair operations?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Further discussion, hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. And we have acted affirmatively on that matter. The second action item is joint development, is the approve the terms, amended terms of the Twin Brook Joint Development Agreement. Mr. Golden again?
Yes.
Mr. Golden?
Mr. Chairman, we're requesting approval to amend the terms to adjust the lease and sale terms, also the extension for the various development phases and the Metro replacement garages. JBG is obligated to construct two Metro parking garages to replace over 1,100 spaces, relocate bus bays, and start construction of 3 of 6 phases and one replacement garage by May of 2009. Only one phase has been undertaken. That phase has been very successful. It comprises an apartment building and retail both of which are leasing well under current market conditions and have won a number of awards, including citations for LEED compliance, LEED leadership. The amendment renegotiation we're presenting you today is for phases 1A, 1B, 2A, and 2B. We will renegotiate 3A and 3B in 2013 once the market recovers. It allows us to share in project profits, and in response to a request by one of the board members at the last meeting, we had Jones Lang LaSalle, our consultant, run that model using the pricing that was indicated in 2007, and under that revenue sharing model, we would actually exceed the amount of funds that the board approved back in 2005. So again, we would exceed the originally approved board amount. We're also looking, in addition, as you know, to reducing our construction costs, our specifications for parking. That would result in an additional multi-million dollar savings if we achieve that. The schedule showing the start dates, both current and proposed, I won't read through them all, but, you know, self-explanatory, we're just pushing things out. They will pay us $1,000 per space annually for any space that they use during the construction of the project. At no point will we have any more than 35 spaces displacing customers. And so there'll be no deficiency in the surcharge account as well, because they'll be replacing that.
Question. Okay. Mr. Chairman, question. Have we looked at providing off-site parking, and is that not possible? 35 doesn't sound like a big number, but when you take 35 over a 12 to 18 month period, you know, that could affect a lot of people. And I'm curious as to, one, do we look at off-site parking? And two, the $1,000 per space is fine. That deals with the surcharge account. But, of course, there's other general parking revenue that I guess is not being captured.
No, we're receiving the full value as if someone was parking there, $1,000 per space. And because JBG owns land in the area, they will most likely be able to provide parking for those people who are displaced with a shuttle service.
But is that a part of this contract? Or
no, they're not obligated to do that. We're requesting that they do that. But 35 spaces over 1,151, can't do the percentage in my head, but for 12 to 18 months, we think that that's a reasonable trade-off. At New York Avenue, we shut down the entire lot while the deck was built. And just in terms of the mechanics and the physics of the development, there was no way we could reduce that below 35.
I guess I'd just also like to add that there are a lot of vacant spaces at the White Flint station very close by, so this is a site-specific analysis, not a line-specific analysis, and anyone who wants to go to the next station will have an opportunity at that station as well.
Well, of course, you know, it's way premature, but when that point in time comes, I hope that's well communicated, because folks may not know that.
Yes. You know, and then Mr. Graham had also requested that we have an outside appraisal done just to double-check the Jones Lang LaSalle value. And that number actually came in slightly below what Jones Lang LaSalle had estimated. So that works to Metro's advantage. So they confirmed Jones Lang number for the market value of the land for the condo units. And their number was actually below the Jones Lang number.
So we did have an appraisal done.
Yes.
That was going to be my question.
At your request, yes.
And what we have found is that the other appraisal, the other valuation, not an appraisal, it was a valuation, as I remember. It was a letter of evaluation, wasn't it, that we received from Jones?
Yes. And there was a 5% difference, but in our favor.
In your favor.
We're actually getting more money than this appraisal indicated.
You know, it's a little bit, it is not our practice to provide the actual details in the public session. But it's a little bit difficult to follow this complex deal, which has been pending for so very long in the absence of those specific numbers. And so I'm just a little bit uncertain about, I know that what in effect we're doing here is we're taking into account a downturn in the economy, which has significantly affected the ability of this developer to perform under the original terms, and that we have established new terms which the developer is willing to embrace. Am I right?
That's correct.
And so now today you're telling us that we've had an appraisal indicating that the new terms, and I'm going back to your first comment earlier in your testimony, the new terms exceed what was agreed to in 2002. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. Again, without using the numbers, the board approved the number back in 2005.
2005,
right.
Excuse me.
We had Jones Lang determine what is the current market value of the property. And then we negotiated very hard for a year with JBG, and they have agreed to pay approximately 92% above the current market value, and that is a fixed number. In addition to that, with the profit-sharing component, we have the potential to achieve even more than the board originally approved back in 2005.
Now, what happens in the short term if this goes sour again? We just simply... The deal is extinguished.
Yeah, they have a schedule now, and if they fail to meet those milestones, we have the right to extinguish the contract. That's correct.
Right, and there are no further penalties or clawbacks or enhancements to our advantage.
Well, in addition to the profit sharing I talked about, we are going to...
In the event that it goes sour again.
Well, we would theoretically own the improvements because we own the land underneath them, but a bank is not going to allow that to happen. A bank is going to step in and start making the ground lease payments on the existing development.
But you're confident that this will proceed with the new terms?
Yes, they are very, like all the multifamily developers, they're very anxious to get shovels in the ground.
Okay. Now, will there be ground floor retail in the WMATA parking garages? Is that being contemplated?
No, the ground floor retail is underneath, as I understand it, certainly where they built the existing buildings, and there'll be further ground floor retail underneath the prospective buildings as well.
But why aren't we concerned? This is a question that the D.C. Department of Transportation has asked me to put to you. Why aren't we considering ground floor retail in the WMATA parking garages?
Well, we are in Dunloring.
No, in this project.
This project was approved prior to my arrival, so I couldn't answer that directly. I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer to that right now either. I know we'd be working with the city of Rockville to conform it to local development guidelines.
Is that the answer? That's sufficient.
Okay. I will say, Mr. Graham, that...
What?
I will say, philosophically, going forward, I very much agree and believe there should be ground floor retail and parking decks, and certainly in a place like New Carrollton where we have a new initiative going, we're going to strive to do that. And Dunloring, as I mentioned, will have ground floor retail, but this deal preceded my arrival.
I'll just add that the project manager just stopped by and mentioned that it's a very narrow site, and we didn't feel that we could move cars in and out of the garage safely while constricting it with the retail on the ground level. So that's... It's been considered, and that's the assessment.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? Mr. Linton?
I'd like to make a motion that we move the project.
Do you want to make the motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move that we accept the project as presented by staff.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Linton and seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it.
Thank you.
And this is approved. There being no further business to come before the committee, this meeting is now adjourned at 10:47.